Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask that you turn with me, Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. This is actually part five of Jehoshaphat. And the reason we're taking Jehoshaphat, because sometimes he's a type of Christ, but many times he's a type of you and I. And today we're going to see how he, although he's a king, he's like you and I. And you're going to see some things that the practical applications that he is going through. So why don't we read a few verses? I'm going to read through 1-9 just for continuity. The message will actually be from 6 on, but for continuity, let's start with 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said, the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Now this is, hold on to verses 6-11 now. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man but whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil, the same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Janah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied to saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we would ask that you would open up our understanding, that you would open up our hearts, that we would see the beauty of who you are and what you're teaching us today, that we would see the practical issues so that we can honor and glorify you in all that we say, do, and think. So we ask that you help each and every one of us, help this servant of yours to present your truth so it's understandable to all. So we ask for your help. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Understand now, this Jehoshaphat is who we're going to focus on. But when we focus on him, think about yourself and what Jehoshaphat is going to learn. Maybe we can learn of what's going to go on. This is the introduction of what we're going to actually do. I got a story. You'll probably understand who it is all about. His name's Bart Simpson. I guess he's a cartoon. But it's by Lee Strobel. And it's the day Bart Simpson prayed. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the background of that'd be 2 Chronicles 18:1-8. That's just what we touched on last time to bring you into where we are. Then 2 Chronicles 6-11, practical lessons are these. Seek the Lord's direction and will. This is what God is telling Jehoshaphat and us. Seek the Lord's direction and will. Avoid deception. Protect your heart and mind. Be a Berean. And then we're going to, if we have time, cover 2 Chronicles 18:12-17. There's a Micaiah's vision. It's kind of interesting in the vision, and it has a practical lesson there that we must live by the word of God. We must live by the word of God. So let me start with the story. The day Bart Simpson prayed by Lee Strobel. Bart wasn't doing well in the fourth grade. Matter of fact, he flunked his book report on Treasure Island because he only knew what was on the cover. And that was the last straw. The teacher called the meeting for Bart's parents and the school psychiatrist, whose conclusion was Bart should repeat fourth grade. Bart was horrified. Look in my eyes, he said. See my sincerity. See the conviction. See the fear. I swear I'll do better. After all, nothing was worse than a 10-year-old being held back in fourth grade. But Bart had hatched a plan. He made a deal with brainy student named Martin. He'd teach Martin how to be cool if Martin would help him pass the next American history exam. The final history test was monumentally important because if he passed it, Bart would be allowed to graduate. Bart did teach Martin the fine points of being cool. How to burp on command, how to spray paint graffiti on garage doors, how to shoot a slingshot on unexpected girls. Sure enough, Martin became the most popular kid in school. In fact, Martin didn't have time to help Bart study. Now picture this. It was the night before the big test. Bart was sitting at his desk in the room, staring at an open book, trying to study, when he came to the chilling realization that it was too late. He couldn't cram enough into his head in one night to be able to pass the test. Finally, his mom peeked into the room and said, "It's past your bedtime, Bart." Slowly, Bart closed his book. With the exams just hours away, it seemed like all of his options has evaporated. That's when he got down on his knees next to his bed and prayed to God. This is what he prayed. "This is hopeless. I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't been a good kid, but I have to go to school tomorrow. I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help. A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that would cancel school tomorrow. I know if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson." The scene switched to an outside view of Bart's house. The lights in his room went out. It was cold and dark. A few moments passed, and then a single snowflake gently fell to the ground. Then another, and another, and suddenly there was a virtual avalanche of snow. In fact, it was the biggest blizzard in the city's history. The hallelujah chorus began in the background. The next day, school was canceled. Bart fought the temptation to go sliding with his friends and instead studied hard. Then the following day, when the time finally came for the test, he gave it his best shot, but he came up 1 point short. It looked like he had failed, until at the last possible moment, he miraculously scored one more point and squeaked by with a D minus. Bart was so happy that he kissed his teacher as he scampered out the door. Homer, his dad, was overwhelmed that he posted Bart's paper on the refrigerator and said, "I'm proud of you, boy." To which Bart replied, "Thanks, Dad. But part of this D minus belongs to God." And you stop and you look at that and you say, "Well, wait a minute, that's a prayer." And sometimes when we pray for ourselves to get out of a pickle. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat's going to be doing. He's going to be seeking the Lord's advice to get himself out of a pickle. He's in a situation he should not have been in because he didn't inquire of God why he was there. And we'll talk about that as we go along. Be careful when we pray, because God can answer your prayers. He'll sometimes give you things that you really shouldn't be asking for. And you'll find out he'll give it to you because he's a gentleman. And he'll do it so that you can grow in your faith. But sometimes those prayers are not what God really wanted for you, but he'll use it to teach you. Let's look at King Jehoshaphat. The first six verses that we read, we got to go back and we got to see that the first practical lesson, remember, Jehoshaphat was rich. He has taken over the kingdom of Judah, and he's rich, and he was following God for 3 years. He's going on, and he became very prosperous. But there was a warning that God has given us on prosperity. Sometimes prosperity, we tend to forget who God is. God warns Israel about prosperity when they enter the promised land. It's yet he said, actually, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." That's in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Sometimes when you get so prosperous, you start to deny God and thinking it's all about you. And then we see in Proverbs 3, 8, and 9, it actually says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain." And so watch out for prosperity, beloved. When you think everything's on top of the world, be very careful, because the evil one's lurking. God will prosper you as you stay in his way and in his word, especially if you're going to be taking off. And I'm thinking of the college students that are leaving. As you leave, remember, when you think you're on the top, work hard at allowing God in your life. Then we talked last time about verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 18. And the practical lesson there is warning on keeping company. The company you keep, be careful on who you are with. Jehoshaphat said, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." You see, Jehoshaphat never inquired of God. Remember, Ahab was an ungodly king. He was the king of Israel, but he was ungodly. And Israel had, at this time, no good kings, where Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And so what you have is a godly king sitting side by side an ungodly king. The righteous versus the unrighteous. God repeatedly warns us about chosen companions. The people we surround ourselves with will deeply influence our habits, our faith, and our character. 2 Chronicles 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." It's a simple statement, because they'll pull you down. Then we also talked about the practical lessons of humility. And that's in verse 4 and 4 through 6. And humility is extremely important in any type of person, especially if you're going to be a leader. Humility allows us to recognize the need that we need God's wisdom and understanding in living our daily life. Humility will develop each of us to be more effective in righteousness as we walk before other people. Again, I lay this on to college students that are going to be leaving home and heading out to college because they're going to be surrounded by a lot of ungodly. And you need God in your life, and you got to be humble. Remember the heart of God. In Matthew 11, 29, he said, "Come unto me." But he said, "My heart is meek and lowly." And we have to take on the heart of Jesus Christ. And so let's pick it up from there. Verse 6. As we look at verse 6, what does it say? And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" Remember what has now happened. Jehoshaphat has allowed his son to marry Ahab's daughter. Unequally yoked. Matter of fact, when Jehoshaphat dies later on, when you read through the scriptures, you will see that that Jehoshaphat's son was an ungodly king. She was influenced by Ahab's daughter coming from an ungodly king. Be careful who you're with. If I look at verses 6 through 11, you will see there's several names that come to play. Jehoshaphat, his name means the Lord is judge. So every time you think of Jehoshaphat, think, the Lord is judge. He's watching us. Micaiah will be the prophet of God. He's the second in line that the names mention. And his name means, who is like Jehovah? And beloved, that's what we are. We are representatives of Christ. We should be like Jehovah, walking in the ways of God and his commandments and his rules and regulations, but walking in his love and care for others. And then you're going to come to Imlah, which is the dad of Micaiah. Imlah means God fulfills. And if you look at these names and study the names of the people, that you'll see the practicality unfold before our eyes. Zedekiah means Jehovah, my righteousness. He's the fourth name that comes out. Jehovah is my righteousness, and yet he was not righteous. And then you get Shinaniah, which is a trader or a merchant, a trafficker. Not much there. And the unnamed one, the king of Israel, is Ahab, which just simply means an uncle. Jehoshaphat wanted to seek the Lord. And beloved, every situation in our life, we should take that kind of attitude on. We should want to seek the Lord. Inquire of him. If you're going to be taking different courses in college, seek the Lord to see what he would have you to take. Seek the Lord if you're going to buy a new vehicle. Seek the Lord if you're going to make friends with someone. Seek the Lord in everything in your life. Should I go forth, Lord, or should I not? Listen to him. Know your scriptures, and you will see that he will guide you in the path of righteousness. But you have to follow the path. The practical lesson here, Jehoshaphat, because he said, when he's talking to Ahab, Ahab says, "Will you go to war with me and go and regain Ramoth-Gilead?" We talked about that last time. It's the refuge city. It was part of Ahab's cities. And Syria had taken it. And so what did Jehoshaphat say? He simply said that, "I am as thou art, and thy people are as my people." And that's not true. Jehoshaphat's people were godly people. They did not worship idols where Ahab's people worshiped idols. You look at that and you say, well, seek the Lord's direction and will. That's the practical lesson here. And every one of us should seek his will and his ways. I'm going to take you for a moment to Psalm 25, King David. Psalm 25 has the first five verses, and it says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Then he says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, I looked at that psalm and I see there's five practical steps that we can do here. Step one, pray for guidance. Pray for guidance. It's a simple thing. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. That means have a constant dependence on God. So step one is pray for guidance. Step two, trust God. You know, a lot of people say that they're saved, they believe in God, but I'm wondering sometimes, do we really trust God? Do we put our confidence in God's word? Do we put our confidence in God himself? Trust God. Number three, wait on God. Wait on God. Sometimes we think God's not doing anything. And you'll find out he's working. He works at both ends at all times. And he looks at you and you're particularly important to him. And as a child of his, he cares what happens to you. So as you wait on God, you're going to find that if you wait and see what he actually does, he's working behind you and he's working in front of you. He's side by side. Remember, the Lord abides in you. So, but wait on him and be of good courage and wait to see what he would have you to do. Things will open up. The fourth step was this. Learn God's word, ways, and will. Learn God's will, ways, and will. The only way you can do that is read your Bible. You know, the Bible is not a book of rules and regulations. It's a book, it's a love story that God loves us so much that he came to this earth to die for us, to give us a new life, calls us new creation. We're new creatures in him. But he also gave us a pathway of walking in the righteousness for him. So the fourth step again is learn God's word, ways, and will. Number five, live God's truth and continue learning as his word teaches us. That brings you back to the first one. I'll say that again. Live God's truth. Live his word. Walk in his steps. Continue learning as his word teaches us. Not only have to learn it, you have to do it. That brings you back to the first part. Pray for guidance, because all that falls in to Psalm 25, verses 1 through 5. You know, throughout Scripture, he tells us to seek him. If you're not a Christian, you can't seek him. If you're not a Christian, you can't seek him. He actually will seek you. And it's the Scripture that says that. No man seeketh after God, but he will seek you out. And if he found you, remember, God's not lost. You didn't find him. He found you. And so seek him. It's a form of service and worship when you seek him. So that's the practical lesson when Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet of God? You see, Ahab had 400 men that were prophets of Balaam, an ungodly idol who can do nothing. Balaam can do nothing. Balaam's only an idol. Look at verse 7 and 8 of 2 Chronicles 18. It talks about, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is one man whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. That's quite a statement, isn't it? But I hate him. Did you ever tell somebody that you hate someone? Yeah. He says, I hate him, for he never prized good unto me, but always evil. Be careful, because there's a practical lesson here. The practical lesson is be careful who you're with, and be careful not to be influenced by other people's opinions. Other people's opinion. Unless it's the Word of God. Watch out for other people's opinions, because they'll sway you. Psalm 1. We're going to go back to a guy named David. He was another king. And what did he say in Psalm 1? He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's got the Word of God in his heart. And then what will happen if he meditates day and night? Verse 3 comes along, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, the more you put God in your life, you will prosper. He will take you through trials and tribulations that you never thought you could get through. And he'll bring you into prosperity. And then that goes back to the warning. Don't forget God when you get into being prosperous, because it can take you down. You'll see, verse 9, when you're looking at 2 Chronicles 18, it says, and the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne. I want you to picture this. You've got two kings, a king that is godly, and a king that is ungodly. You've got one who is righteous and one who is unrighteous. Two kings sat side by side. There is an appearance there of having a united front. You know, there's a story about two birds, a sparrow and a mourning bird that sings. And you get two cages, and you put the mourning bird on one side, and you put the sparrow on the other side. Every morning, the little morning bird sings for its breakfast, but the sparrow does not sing. You give it a couple weeks, and you will find that the morning bird will no longer sing for its breakfast. It will follow the influence of the sparrow. And stop and think about that. When you go and sit by and have friends with unrighteous and be part of them, you've compromised your life with God. Don't compromise. A righteous king sitting beside an unrighteous king. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 21 says this, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You know, it's the appearance of evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says that, abstain from the appearance of evil. There's a practical lesson here for us, beloved. But you know, these two kings are clothed in their robes. The king of Judah has a special robe. Everybody knows he's the king of Judah. The king of Israel has a special robe, different from the king of Judah. And everybody knows it's the king of Israel. And you stop and I just want to take you now to 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. I want you to listen to this, Because this is the, I'm going to take you now to the king of Syria who wants the war against Israel, not against Judah. But get, now listen to the words that the captain or the king says to the captain. Verse 31 of chapter 1 Kings 22. And the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with the small or the great, save only the king of Israel. Well, you see the direction, what he just said? I only want you to fight against one person, the king of Israel. Verse 32 says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. Now, you know what happened here? Ahab gave Jehoshaphat his robe. And so Syria thought it was the king of Israel. And so they started to chase him. Now 33 comes along, verse 33. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. You see, God had already told Ahab prior to this, because of his evilness, because he was wicked, because he was unrighteous, that he would put him to death. And so God, in his ways, told Syria, the king of Syria, you fight against one person and then let everybody else go. And you take him out, the war's over. And that's exactly what happened. Look at verse 9 again. The two kings sitting side by side, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, sitting side by side. They sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. You see, that void place is really, it's like a raised platform of dirt. And it's at the entrance of the gate of the city. And that's where they judge. Now, Ahab called 400 prophets, all of Balaam, not of God, all ungodly men. And they're over there, but they're showing a united front. This is a dangerous position. Beloved, there are times when it seems like the majority of people are telling you one thing, and then God tells you another thing. And sometimes you get caught up in what other people think and how they sway you. I know a man one time, he had a Bible study, this individual, and I watched this. This man had a Bible study, and there was like 40 people at the Bible study. The 40 people finally went home. It was like around midnight. I stayed and watched this. It was around midnight, but there's one individual that stayed that wanted to talk to the teacher. And so the teacher finally says to the one individual, why are you still here? And he says, I have to ask you a question. And it was a question about what he should do. And he says, I've asked everybody else and they've told me that I should do it. I still felt uncomfortable. So you're a Bible teacher. I want to know what you think. You know what the Bible teacher said? He gave him scripture. And he says, I wouldn't do it. But if that means the majority said it, it's between you and God. The individual finally told me later he didn't do it. He told the teacher, I guess, later on, he didn't do it. Because the word of God said, don't go there. Because it was too easy to fall into a trap, into a sin. Be careful, beloved. Here is with 400 prophets telling two kings, go to war. Everything's cool. Go to war. You'll do all right. Matter of fact, look at verse 10 for a moment. It says, and Zedekiah, one of the prophets of Shenaniah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these horns shalt thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. You see, a lot of times in the Old Testament, if a false prophet would prophesize, they would make something. They would make a visual item to show you, look, I want you to look at this helmet with horns on it, because this is what's going to push them back. And it's very convincing. You see, the evil is very convincing at times. The flesh is very convincing at times. Go ahead, do it. You'll enjoy it. Go ahead. And then you'll pay a price afterwards. Be careful. Remember, the Holy Spirit lives within us. Seek his advice. Seek his counsel. Zedekiah and 400 prophets said to the two kings, go up to Ramoth Gilead. You'll win. So the practical lesson here is avoid deception. Avoid deception. The New Testament in the Bible repeatedly tells believers to watch out for and turn away from the teachings that go against biblical truth. We need to follow biblical truth. But the only way to follow it is you have to know it. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. This is what it says. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We're not simple folks, beloved. We have God in us. We are godly men and women with wisdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 says this. Now we command you, this is not a request. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which ye have received of us. It's not a request. It's a command. God holds us accountable to these commands. He watches us. You know, this is a New Testament, but the same accountability goes to Jehoshaphat and Ahab and all that followed them. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 11 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You know what that is? You got to be careful out there, because there's people that go door to door that preach the wrong gospel. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. I don't know if you probably get myself in trouble, but I'll say it. Watch out for Jehovah's Witness. They're not Christians. I had them come up to our house one time. My house. I got a big X on my house because I won't bid them Godspeed. I go by the scripture. But they went up the mountain. I went on Greystone Avenue. They went up the mountain and they were giving out their watchtower and their ungodly gospel. And so what did I do? Follow them and gave them out tracts and gave them out the truth. And they got to me and they said, leave us alone. I said, well, then leave my neighborhood alone. Be careful, beloved. Don't go with them. Be careful with the ungodly, because they'll influence you, and they'll bring you down, and they'll bring you in a bad place. And if you ever get into that bad place, remember this one thing. God can pull you out, but you have to go to Him. You have to go to Him. Another practical lesson in what Jehoshaphat is doing here. This is why he's a type of us, because we get ourselves in these pickles. You see, Jehoshaphat doesn't belong there. Protect your heart and protect your mind. That's a practical lesson in this. Sitting under false doctrine can slowly damage a person's faith and morals. Sitting under false doctrine can slowly damage a person's faith and morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame." I hope no one ever says something like that to me. I speak to your shame? You mean they had the Word of God? They didn't take time to study the Word of God? And then they get under the false teaching, and there is tremendous amount of false teaching out there, beloved. Be careful. Jehoshaphat was learning. He got himself into a pickle. He never consulted with God to go to war or even have his son marry Ahab's daughter. He never consulted with God. Now he's in a pickle. Now he's been wined and dined by an ungodly king. And now as he's sitting there, he's finally saying, something woke him up and said, is there not a prophet from God that I can hear from? And what did Ahab say? Oh, there's one. His name's Micaiah, and I hate him because he never says anything good about me. That's a paraphrase. Protect your heart and mind, beloved. In Ephesians 5, 10, 11, it says this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, I have a rule. One of my rules is this. If someone tells me they're a Christian, my rule is, that has given me the right now to hold them to being a Christian. And so if they say they're Christian, I get to say, do you know this verse? Do you know this verse? And why are you doing that? Or I can say, praise God, you're walking in the ways of God. You can do it both sides. We should be encouragers, but also we should be rebukers as well. If they say they're a Christian, hold them to that fact. The other practical lesson is be a Berean. Be a Berean. What is that? What is a Berean? Well, a Berean is a group of people that were in the book of Acts. It's actually Acts 17 and 10 and 11. The Apostle Paul and his group would go in and teach them the doctrines. This is what it says. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether the things were so. What is a Berean? It's one that holds people accountable to the Word of God. Everything that I'm up here and preaching, you have the responsibility to go back and see if my teaching is true. They would study it. Paul, who was an apostle, who was sent by God himself, goes into a synagogue and tells the Jews all the things about Jesus Christ. And the Bereans, they didn't just accept it. They went and studied it and said, ah, this man knows what he's talking about. This is a godly person. So the challenge I say to you is, I challenge you to check my words. Check out the scriptures. See these practicalities in Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Watch out who you are having company with. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. I got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to take you now to verse 12, which we did not read. Let's read verse 12. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let the word, therefore, I pray thee, be like of theirs, and speak thou good. Now remember, Zedekiah has gone to get Micaiah. And he's telling Micaiah, this is what I want you to say. You say what I tell you to say, because the 400 prophets, they said, go to Ramoth-Gilead and you will win. I want you to say that to the king. There's a practical lesson. When you see something like that, be careful. It's a red flag. When somebody tells you to say what you're to say, that's a red flag. I get phone calls every now and then that says, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. Well, to me, that's a red flag right away. If you're going to hold that, don't tell anybody, then I find out they're telling everybody. Be careful with these kind of statements that come to you. You see, this is what Micaiah said in verse 13. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, what that is what I will speak. He's a prophet of God. The practical lesson is we must live by the word of God. We must live by the word of God. What my God saith, that will I speak. Jesus made a great statement in responding to Satan. Do you remember that statement? Jesus went up to the mountain. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, the mountain was into the wilderness. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And so the devil, the serpent, comes up against him. He doesn't know that this is Christ, the Lord. He doesn't know this. So he's trying to figure it out. And he knew that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In Matthew 4, 3 and 4 says, and when the tempter came to him, that to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You can do the miracle, make them bread. And Jesus answered in verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's a statement from God himself, Jesus Christ. We are to live by the word of God. We are to walk in his principles. You see, Jehoshaphat didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but he did know who God was. And Jesus Christ is God, by the way, just so you know. But Jehoshaphat knew a guy named Elion. El Shaddai. El Elyon is the Most High. El Shaddai is the Almighty God. And so Jehoshaphat knew this, and he had to live by the word. Micaiah, the prophet of God, not only knew the word of God, it was directly relayed to him what he is to say. And he had to say it exactly how God presented it. The Apostle John made another great statement. In 2 John 1:4, it said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Beloved, if you walk in truth, if you know the Word of God, you put a smile on God's face. You bless God by walking in truth. God spoke to Moses, by the way. Matter of fact, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Moses wrote those. God spoke to Moses, and this is what he said in Deuteronomy 32 and 33. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. That means walk in a narrow path to God, a righteousness path. Verse 33 says, ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, and that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. He's telling him how to walk. You see, in Matthew chapter 7, he says the road is wide. But the road that is wide is an unrighteous road. But the other road is narrow. It's the righteous path to God. We have to walk into the righteous path. We have to know his word. Verse 14 says, and when he was come to the king, this is Micaiah now going to King Ahab. And I guess Jehoshaphat sitting there too. Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Ahab wants to know. And guess what? This is what Micaiah says. And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. What did Micaiah do? He said what Zedekiah told him to say. But you know how he said it? Sarcastically. I wish you could read these things in audio. Hear what he actually, how he presented it. Oh, go ahead up. Go ahead. You're going to win. Everything's cool. You're going to win. 15 says, and the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? He knew he was sarcastic. He knew it. So this is what Micaiah now said in verse 16. Then he said, I did see Israel scattered among the mountains as sheep, that they had no shepherd. And the Lord said, they have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. You know what he just said? When you break that down, what he actually said was that you're going to lose. Israel's going to be scattered amongst the mountains. There's no shepherd. That means, Ahab, you will die. Then everybody can return in peace to their house. That means they're only after one man, and that is King Ahab, an unrighteous king, an ungodly king. Remember back what we talked about in 1 Kings 22? Good old Jehoshaphat, being deceived, wore the robe of Ahab. And he cried out. And then they perceived that it wasn't Ahab. And they let him go. But they did slay King Ahab. So when you look at these scriptures, beloved, and the next time when we do part 6, we're going to see a vision. Micaiah, before he gave this prophecy, God brought him into a vision. In a vision, he saw the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, he saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting on his throne. As he's seeing that, all around him, on the left and on the right, was the host of heaven. What is the host of heaven but the angels? You've got maybe the cherubim on one side and the seraphim on the other side. It's the host of heaven with the living beasts above them crying out. He saw a vision. And then he got the prophecy. And that someone in the vision is your homework. What was that that he saw that was in the vision? The vision's going to be in verses 18 through 22. Next time, we'll talk about the vision. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to present the Word of God. Help us, Father, as we walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with everyone here. Show them the pathway of righteousness. Be with them. Bless them according to the riches of your grace. And love them the way you love your Son and the way you love life in itself eternally. So, Father, until we meet again, we ask that you bless each one according to the riches of your grace and mercy. We lift it up, thanking you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.